Underwriting support for Between the Stacks comes from Lakeville Books and Stationery, 329 Main Street in Lakeville, Connecticut, offering a wide selection of illustrated books, fine writing needs, and more. On the web, lakevillebooks.com. Robin Hood Radio presents Between the Stacks, a weekly chat about our local libraries.
Good morning. I'm Meg Scher, the director of the David M. Hunt Library, and I'm joined by Leslie Battis, the assistant director at the Norfolk Library. Hi, Leslie.
Hi, Meg.
And we're excited to talk about books and events today, but we'll start by talking about social media. So, Leslie, when I was planning this call, I was thinking to myself, I want to know how you guys handle your social media posts. Is it one staff person? Do you share it? How does that work?
We are so fortunate to have Bina Thompson, who's our community engagement coordinator, and she runs our social media accounts for us.
Amazing.
So, it's great. She spends about 6 hours a week on our Facebook and Instagram posts, and she just does a fabulous job. It's so wonderful to have someone that you can say, this is this, and she just whips up a post and off it goes.
That is amazing.
It is. We have about, I was going to say, she posts almost every day.
Mm-hmm.
And almost everything from, you know, programs, photos from programs, services that we offer, holidays and celebrations for different cultures, and of course, photos of our beautiful library. So, Meg, yes. Are you in charge of your social media account, or do you have someone that helps?
Yeah. I am. Someday I hope that is one of the things that I can delegate. But, you know, one of the nice things about the way that social media works now is that it's all connected to my phone, so I can do it from anywhere, which is both a blessing and a curse.
Yes.
On my other question for you, Leslie, so we have Instagram and Facebook. It sounds like you guys do, too. Do you have any other social media that you use?
We have no other what you would classically call social media, but we do have a weekly email newsletter that our director, Ann Havemeyer, sends out to subscribers.
Right.
And that newsletter goes out every Friday to about 1,200 subscribers.
Wow, that's a lot of people.
It is. It lists our upcoming events and happenings, and it has a link so people can register. And we always know the minute practically it hits people's inboxes because we get an influx of registration emails. It's very effective for getting people to sign up for our programs.
Yeah, we do a monthly email, and I find the same thing.
Yeah. The neat thing that that Ann does that I think is very cool is that she highlights a different library every week, and she ties that in with current events.
Awesome.
And the libraries from around the world. And then, so this week is the anniversary of the bombing of Hiroshima, and she's highlighting a boat library.
Wow.
That delivers books around the inland sea of Hiroshima Prefecture. So it's very cool. People really enjoy seeing that also. I find that that's what I look forward to most each week.
Yeah, and it's nice to have a little gimmick like that where it is something that people look forward to.
Absolutely, yes, so true.
That's awesome. One of the things that I think about with social media, especially for the library, is how I wish I could devote more time to it, right? I see a lot of the bigger libraries, I'm sure you've seen it too, Leslie, who make these fabulous, you know, scripted, rehearsed videos, and they're so funny and engaging and wonderful, and it really takes a lot of time and forethought and energy to produce those videos, which in a small library with a small staff, I just don't have. So I dream of the time when, you know, there's some more resources that make it possible to make those, you know, higher input kinds of things that are so engaging and fun and make people, you know, that get a lot of views. Because I think one of my favorite things about social media is that it's such a wonderful low-cost way for us to advertise library services and programs.
Yes. And that was something that Bina and I talked about, is that the wish that we could spend, you know, more time and do things like that, that you said, whether it's some of the really great books that we have found up in our upper, you know, older section, mm-hmm. or whether it's architectural elements of the library that is so beautiful, or even more about services. So, yes, we agree.
Right. And something I think about a lot is that, you know, people still come into library, I'm sure this happens to you guys at Norfolk also, and say, I didn't know you did this, or yes. I didn't know you have this. And so every once in a while, we try and do a did you know kind of post to highlight to people what we offer and things that they might not know about.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah. You know, we're always trying to figure out, and I'm sure you guys are too, how to get people to know more things about the library. So I think social media hits a specific group of people. And you know, there's still people who find out about what's happening at the library from the posters at the post office or the Lakeville yeah. Journal, right? So it really takes a multi-pronged approach to get information out about the library and its programming.
It is. And it's a great tool because it's, as you said, a connector.
Yeah.
You reach a different audience here, you reach a different audience there, and even a different audience then looks at the website properly. So
yeah.
we look at it as a positive and a great way to connect with people and also to let them just feel a little more connected to the library because they see so it's so often that it becomes a little sort of hopefully ingrained in them.
Right, right, absolutely. If you post every day, which I try to do also, the people are thinking about the library every day, which is a great thing. Something else I wanted to mention is having the ability to post in groups has been really wonderful for us. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there's a Northwest Corner Chatter, there's a Northwest Corner Chat, Falls Village has a forum group. I'm sure most towns have their own groups, and that's a great way to reach people who are not following the library, but maybe would be interested in a program or two, and to drive them to the library's Instagram or Facebook page and get them to follow the library. So this year we ran, in the fall, we ran a homeschooling literacy program, and I joined all of these homeschooling Facebook groups, and it was like a light bulb went off. Of course we should be posting all of our programming, kids programming, and homeschooling Facebook groups.
That's a great idea.
Right, and then you get this audience that you wouldn't have gotten otherwise, and especially up here, what we found is that homeschooling families are used to driving all over the place,
yeah.
you know, so 45 minutes for a program that feels worthwhile to them doesn't feel like such a big deal because we live rurally, and that's what you do.
Yes, yes, very true. These are great ideas. I am writing them down, Meg.
That's one of my favorite parts about this is that we get to share ideas with each other.
Yes.
Leslie, I'd love to hear what you've been reading.
Well, so I've been reading a lot. And so these are the books that I've read so far this month, and I have to say I recommend all of them. I read Clara and the Sun.
Oh.
That's for our book group.
Yep.
Yep. I would not have read that were it not for the book group, but I really enjoyed the book.
I've heard that it's strange. Would you say so?
Yes. Yes, I would. it is thought-provoking, let's say that. I also read Problematic Summer Romance by Allie Hazelwood. And then I read Standard Deviation by Catherine Henney. And that has great descriptions and is funny. I was reading it at that at the beach and laughing and hoping people didn't think I was crazy.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah. The Love Haters by Catherine Center, which I could totally relate to the main character, and I loved the author's note. I won't offer any more spoilers than that. I read Atmosphere by Taylor Jenkins Reid. I've never read one of her books before.
That was my favorite read of the last month.
Yep, that was very good. I read Under the Stars by Beatrice Williams, To Say Nothing of the Dog by Connie Willis. And I just started West with Giraffes by Linda Rutledge. But my favorite book was I See You've Called In Dead by John Kenny.
Oh.
That was so good. So good.
Is it a thriller? The title makes me think it's a thriller.
It's not. It's about an obituary writer. He writes obituaries for a living, and he sort of he writes his own obituary that's very sarcastic, and he accidentally actually posts it to the newspaper that he works for. So
before he's dead, I assume.
Yes, before he's dead. And so it's all about this chain reaction that starts from that. But it's really kind of profoundly about living. Like, this is your one blessed life, and live it. Yeah, it was really good. How about you? What have you been reading?
So I really loved Atmosphere by Taylor Jenkins Reid. For those who haven't heard about it, it's a lesbian astronaut love story set in the 1980s. And I mean, the amount of research that she had to do about NASA, no, it's insane. And it was so touching. I cried at the end, which doesn't happen to me very often. Yeah.
I'm glad you said that. I was crying at the end of that book.
I'm glad to hear I'm in good company. And I've read a lot of Taylor Jenkins Reid, not all of them, but I've enjoyed each one, and I've been impressed by her last book was called, Something About Carrie Soto, and it was about tennis. And I don't play tennis or have any interest in tennis, really, and she finds this great way of teaching you about something but not overdoing it. So I learned a lot about tennis, and I was still engaged and interested in the book.
She's a good writer.
Yeah, so I really enjoyed that. Every summer, one of my guilty pleasures is this Amish mystery series by Linda Castillo. And so every summer she comes out with a new book, and this one is Rage. And there, I'm really into books about Amish culture. The protagonist in these books, her name is Kate Burkholder, and she's an ex-Amish female police chief in this tiny Amish-adjacent town. And I just really enjoy them. I enjoy the strong female protagonist. I enjoy the way that she engages with a community that she used to be a part of and learning about the Amish. So I've gotten a couple of people at the library turned on to this series, and they also wait every summer for
Good job. Installment.
And that's really the only mystery I read. I'm not so much of a mystery person because they keep me up at night. So it's kind of a funny one-off for me. And I've been doing a lot of driving because my kids are in camp all over the place. And so I've been listening to a lot of audiobooks. And last night I finished Stanley Tucci's What I Ate in 1 Year. And it's kind of, it's a diary, and he talks through what he ate in each year. So you really have to like food. He eats an incredible amount of pasta. And it's very Italian-based. He spends a lot of time in Italy. It was when he was working on his Italy show. And, you know, it's fun. There's a lot of name dropping of famous people, but it was an enjoyable kind of like you get to see what his life is like. He's raising a second set of kids, and you get to hear about all these beautiful Italian dishes. So if you're an Italian food lover, I recommend for sure.
Have you been eating a lot of pasta lately, Meg, based on
pasta? Actually, Leslie, although it's been so hot that I don't want to boil water. But I think I will end up, we have a pasta maker, and I've been wanting to make more pasta, so maybe this will drive me to do that.
There you go.
Yeah, and the other audiobook that I listened to before Stanley was Jordan Childs' book that came out this year called I'm That Girl, and it's it's an autobiography, and it was really interesting both to hear about how someone becomes a professional gymnast, and, you know, she had that whole, she got the bronze medal stripped from her at the end of the Olympics, and that was a horrible situation. But one of the things that she touched on that I had never thought about before is racism in gymnastics and being a woman of color and a girl of color coming up in a predominantly white sport, and how difficult it was, and how many microaggressions and full-out aggressions she faced from other gymnasts, judges, parents. And so that was really eye-opening, and I enjoyed hearing Jordan's voice and listening to her tell her story. So I would recommend that one, too.
Very good. I'll have to add that to the list.
Yeah, it's, you know, one of the things I enjoy about Libby is if I don't have anything that comes up on hold, I end up listening to whatever's available. And so sometimes I find things that I wouldn't have listened to otherwise. And that's been fun. Leslie, what are some of the most requested books at your library in the last couple of weeks?
Ours have been, well, there's three. One is An Enemy in the Village by Martin Walker. The Love Haters by Catherine Center. And then I See You've Called Him Dead. And it's probably because I've been telling everyone about that book.
Oh, but that's so great.
Yeah. And what about you, Meg? What's been the mostest at your library?
So we still have a long line for the Wally Lamb book.
Yep.
Keith McNally's biography, I Regret Almost Everything. We have a long line for that one, too. And then people have been asking for the new Bill Clinton and James Patterson collaboration, The First Gentleman.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it really spans the gamut of genres, which is a fun, you know, I always appreciate being able to see that.
Yes. We didn't have any nonfiction ones that were really up in our most popular or most, people waiting for.
Mm-hmm.
Which a lot of times we do, but not this time.
Tell me about the big weekend that's coming up, Leslie.
This weekend is Weekend in Norfolk. And so there are many events all around town on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And the library, we have two nice events going on at the library. On Saturday, August 2nd at 10:30, Edie Saka will present a West African music and dance workshop for children.
Oh, cool.
Yes. Edie is a native of Ghana, and he will introduce children to traditional West African dance and teach them one traditional West African dance. And like you said, I just think it sounds like so much fun. I may not be there dancing, but I hope to be there to see the whole program.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And then on Sunday, August 3rd, from 4 to 6, we have an artist reception for a Norfolk artist, Turi Rostad. Her paintings are just fun, contemporary, vibrant, and they are on display in the library for the month of August. For Weekend in Norfolk, we always try to pick a Norfolk artist.
Mm.
And so she is our pick for this year. But our big event for August is our annual book sale.
Oh, right.
And that is August 23rd, 24th, and 25th. And we have over 30,000 books.
Oh, my goodness.
And that are sorted into over 30 categories. And we have a big tent that takes up the entire parking lot. So it's not hard to find when you pull into the center of Norfolk and there's a big tent. The sale is run by the library associates, and the proceeds help them fund the library's many free cultural programs. And we are so grateful for them to doing that. The important note at this point is that we are no longer accepting donations.
Mm.
We're full, and it looks like a hoarder's house down in our basement.
I have a question. How long does it take you to set up the book sale? When do you start, Wednesday or Thursday?
Thursday the tent arrives, and they set it up. It's a big tent. It takes a lot. And then Friday night, the tables go out under the tent, and then, believe it or not, we have so many volunteers, many, many, that between 7 and 10, all of the books come up the ramp. They're in boxes, come up the ramp,
goodness,
and get put out on the tables in 3 hours.
That is amazing.
It is. It is a well-oiled machine with many, many people hauling books.
Wow.
Yeah. Yep. So, it's a wonderful book sale, so come on down.
I love that. I think we've talked about this before. We have a monthly book sale also, which takes place on the first Saturday of the month, so it's on August 2nd from 10 to 1, and I feel so grateful because our books stay in the same place.
Yeah, that's nice.
So we have used downstairs and we have new upstairs, and thankfully we have enough space where, especially upstairs, we're able to have the book sale coexist with our quiet co-working space.
Mm-hmm.
And so we don't have to schlep books. I mean, we schlep books up the stairs for the first time, but into, you know, that's it. So
yeah.
I'm always so impressed with libraries that have the manpower and are able to run these incredible book sales where they schlep everything out and then bring it back.
Yeah,
that's
we
really
actually
incredible.
No books come back into the library.
What do you do with them afterwards?
We have a company called Bay State Books, and they're out of Rhode Island, and they pick up whatever does not sell, and Monday all day is free books.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever remains on Tuesday, they pick up, and they find a home for every book.
That is incredible.
It really is. They're a wonderful company. Highly recommend them.
Wow. That's amazing.
Do you have some other fun events going on in August?
We do. So one of the things that I'm excited about, we have a basic bike maintenance workshop happening next Tuesday, August 5th from 2 to 4 p.m. with Berkshire Bike and Board. So bike enthusiasts ages 7 and up are welcome to come learn about how their bikes work and some basic bike maintenance. We ask that people register on our website. We also have a new art exhibit opening on August 16th. It's called Drift Lines. It's with Babs Perkins and Heather Nielsen. And I believe that you just had Babs at your library. Is that true?
We just took down Babs' work. Yes.
And it's probably coming right here.
It's gorgeous, by the way. It's really beautiful.
Yes, I'm really excited. So Babs is a photographer, and she's paired with Heather Nielsen, who's a painter, and their works really complement each other well. So that's August 16th from 5 to 7. The Thursday before that, we're doing, on August 14th at 2 p.m., we're doing an indigo dyeing workshop with Gail O'Donnell, who's an artist who did a weaving workshop previously in July, and she'll be doing a papermaking workshop. And it was really fun. People really enjoyed the weaving workshop. Gail is a great teacher, so I'm really looking forward to that. And we have our big fundraiser in August. It's called August Fest. We have beer and brats on the library lawn. We have live music and a silent auction. And it's just a really nice time for the community to get together and support the library and enjoy each other's company. And so that's on August 24th from 4 to 6. You can buy tickets in the library or on our website. And it's been a busy summer in the most wonderful way, and I'm looking forward to the fall and things settling down a little bit.
Yes. The end of summer reading and, yes.
Yeah, for sure. Great. Well, thanks so much for chatting with me, Leslie. As always, it was really fun.
It has been. Thanks, Meg.
Between the Stacks is produced at the facilities of Robin Hood Radio 91.9 FM, Sharon, Connecticut. Underwriting support for Between the Stacks comes from Lakeville Books and Stationery, 329 Main Street in Lakeville, Connecticut, offering a wide selection of illustrated books, fine writing needs, and more. On the web, lakefieldbooks.com.